Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. It might be the very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Welcome. Welcome to Dogfood Transmitting and the Saucer Pod as we attempt to shoot for two in a row. As we seek to recover the broken parts of ourselves and allow them to be realigned into a new order of possibilities. It is what it is. I should say that again. It is what it is. And tonight we are sailing in the saucer pod among the luminous stars of Arcturus, where we more often travel in dreams. It's much faster that way, though my ability to retain the experience is not so great as it would be otherwise in person. There are arguments to be made that in most cases the human soul is not invested in the same location as the body, but usually operates at a distance from it, although everything experienced by the being with whom the soul is associated is registered there. When the soul comes into a direct location association with the being, you have something along the lines of avatars, though it can often be of less impact than that. As we have stated at other times, the avatar never arrives alone. You might think of it as something like a temporal visit by the President of the United States, with all the attending crew of flacks and organizers, security, and other specialists. Every avatar also has friends and companions that have played roles in other lives and with whom the avatar is familiar and comfortable. You find this in the lives of Krishna and Christ, where Krishna was attended by Sridhama, Sudama, Dhamma, Vasudama, Kinkini, Stoka Krishna, Amsu, and others. Christ had his 12 disciples, John the Baptist, and more. Seek out the avatar and make yourself known to him by acting as his emissary, regardless of any commission to that effect. You don't have to have a contract with the stars to serve in the interest of the movements and intentions of the stars. You only need to know what they are and how can you fail in any respect if you act with love at any and all points. The avatar is a manifest expression of love, and if love is awakened and active in your heart, then love will know its job and know what you are capable of. Love respects and admires humility. One might say that humility is the greatest handmaiden of love. The capacity to be in personal retreat from cosmic love allows you to be empty enough to be filled with love. If you are already filled with something else, love is not presumptuous or pushy about making space for itself. Space for love must be made already, or love will go somewhere else. Leonard Cohen wrote a beautiful song that was done most excellently by Buffy St. Marie. It was entitled, God is Alive, Magic is Afoot. Simply put that into YouTube and you will find her version with no difficulty. Listen to it. It speaks of how love goes about its business, and it does it in a truly inspired way. Now, I've heard good things and bad things about Leonard Cohen. I've never met him, so I'm not qualified to speak. What I am qualified to do is measure the impact of his work upon my heart, just as I have done with Joni Mitchell and others. I don't know Bob Dylan. I saw him drive past me in a limousine on the streets of Woodstock, but that's as close as I ever got. I've heard the observable slander that he sold his soul to the devil, and in truth, I can't say what is so about that one way or another. I do find his commercials for Chrysler to be a little odd, but that's not my business. I've heard him called a plagiarist, but I find that difficult to comprehend overall when compared against the body of his work. His presentation of his work in projects like Blood on the Tracks is amazing and deeply heartfelt. It's not my job to judge another when I have no experience of them. I can use my universal yardstick of by their works. Yes, you'll know them. An odd fact about Dylan is that he seems to tour all year long. You can find him playing in small towns around Germany and other European countries in any given year. Now, why he does this, I don't know. He doesn't need the money. Well, personally, I have little interest in performing anymore myself, except in videos and such mediums. You need to have some kind of ego-driven force that compels you to do this. I do not mention the ego in a negative sense. It's just a force, and can take all kinds of directions, and without it, we would have precious little art. This is not to imply that these days we don't have precious little art regardless. The amount of crass, scatological, and pornographic efforts that manifest in art these days is a shame of international proportions. Of course, this is understandable, if not acceptable, given who is in charge and in control of nearly all of the art we are exposed to in the larger sense. The idea is to corrupt the sensibilities of the public and to make them brutish. The effect of rap music is devastating in its accomplishment of this, and the evidence of urban crime and the burgeoning prison system, not to mention the thousands drawn toward the exercise of war, is clear evidence of the truth of the matter. You can't go far or experience much in the way of entertainment without being subjected to this jackhammer garbage. I always get into the argument that there are exceptions here and there. Well, I don't get into an argument. I just state my case and leave. But, you know, for the sake of speaking and such. And if it were a needle in the haystack, if I were a needle in the haystack kind of a guy, I might demur, but I'm not, and I do not. I find this medium to be intolerable. I literally cannot stand it. And I flee if it comes to my attention in one environment or another. It's like the visual arts of the day. They are determined that artists should be rendered unable to paint or draw anything that a random indifference to beauty cannot accomplish. When I see things that I can do better myself without even giving much thought to it, I am disappointed and dismayed because I am not a visual or graphic artist. I am not trained in this medium, and apparently neither are they. And as for inspiration, well, that went out the window a long time ago. Recently, I was watching some Comedy Central roasts where they chose one among their number to be subjected to terrible insults, which they and everyone else laughs at. How in the audience are all sorts of first, second, and third-tier entertainers who overflow with enthusiasm when the camera passes over them. They seem unable to contain their happiness at being a part of the event. The extent to which they go to say the ugliest things in the most graphic way is without limit. Here they are, these well-known pop-up personalities, being just as crude as it is possible for them to be. And what would these events be without a Kardashian? You need not wonder. They are there also, of course. I wondered what it would be like for me to be there. dressed to the nines with pretty faces and surround sound around me. Embarrassed, I think, is how I would feel. If you haven't seen any of these, you cannot know just how dark and profane the whole business is. It is the art of a culture that determines its level of spirituality and depravity. If that is true, and I believe this is so, then we're in a whole lot of trouble. But awakening is coming, and no matter what they do, it all turns against them. Such is the way of an apocalypse. George Soros and his nasty NGOs are being thrown out of Russia. Kudos to Putin on that account. And everything else is going badly for the West. NATO and the Zio Ogres and their pathetic machinations that turn into acts of suicidal madness are all being demonstrated as just this by the day. It is a thing of beauty to watch the invisible manipulate all the perverse efforts of the Satanists as they seek to subjugate what has never been subjugated in this world ever. Sure, portions of the world are plunged into darkness here and there and now and then, but never the whole world. We're coming full circle, and whether enough of us are in alignment with this or not matters not, for a force greater than all of them put together is at work and will not be hindered or stopped. Look at the daily reporting of the vicious and vile crass media as they report on the works being done by those who employ them and also expose them, and they never get that they themselves are the chief agency of bringing their acts of injustice before the eyes of the world. The terrible behavior of law enforcement is pounding on the minds of the populace and waking them up to the travesties that abound around them. Awakening is coming. Be it gentle as a spring rain or violent as a cyclone in full approach. To each of us comes what is necessary to bring us to an awareness of what is what and what is not. Sound and fury and silence, my friends, in that order. After the storm comes the calming breeze of life surviving the storms of outrage needed to wake us from our tedious and repetitive slumbers. My friends, without the trials of this life, we would not be fit to survive our own weaknesses and insufficiency to what is demanded of us. Shall it persist for such a length of time that we are forced to surrender all of our faith and hope? This cannot be. Peace and serenity will come to the hearts prepared by suffering for its residence within. What you have engineered a habitation for will eventually occupy you. If you are mean-spirited and vain, you will host the ghosts of those states, and you will be reliant on what they bring about in your being. Flee them at all costs, and let not your heart be troubled. Hard conditions have come and gone here many times. Some of us are anchored to withstand these things, and some of us are not. In fairy tales and fables, the truth of this has been recorded in tales over the centuries, from the three little pigs to the tortoise and the hare. The race, as they say, is not always to the swift, but more often to the persistent and dedicated, because it is not a matter of the distance traveled, but more of the country one is passing through. Time and distance, space and terrain are all relative to the intrinsic truth of their nature. This is why I am always about suggesting that one acquire a higher love, and the muses of wisdom and understanding as well, to guide your heart. True hearts will discover true love, and one must remember that everyone and everything we love is, or shall I say can be, some permutation of the divine. This is why in the Hindu tradition they say, I salute the God within you. See that you do so, rather than to celebrate the artifice of the devil within. We live in times of the widespread invocation of the infernal, commanded up from the subterranean depths within. Everything is within us, and we have some say about what is brought forth to express in us. Seek the higher, and the higher will always come to you. Angels fly to the side of every committed and determined heart. Do not go down with the ship of darkness, but rather let the ship of your soul be sailed to the lands of light by the resplendent tillerment of the Almighty. We are, in the present sense, simply the caricatures of the personalities on playing cards. Alice in Wonderland was written to show us this. And the timeless archetypes of the tarot were created in pictorial form to give us examples of those ever-changing roles that are adapted to the ever-changing times. There's fashion and there is fashion, and temporary life imitates the ever-changing ways of nature. We are not condemned to the temporary unless we are committed to it, and we don't have to be. We do not have to be. Yes, it is a struggle to do the right thing in a world gone sideways and engaged in the opposite of these possibilities. And the pull of the world around us into conformity can be very great. But what is within us is greater still, always have been, and always will be. My accident was totally unexpected and came out of nowhere. After all of the blows and backhands of recent years, I had hoped a time of tranquility and contemplation would come to me, and that I would not be plunged into such an amount of debt that I would not be able to rise above it. But so it is. It is reality. Well, it is what it is. But it is also what it is not. It is appearances, nothing more than appearances. Should I subjugate myself to confusion and uncertainty, as if the ineffable were unaware of my state and unconcerned about the resolution of it? No. That is the point about appearances. They are temporary, and this whole world is nothing but a dream. And any part or portion of it can be changed in a heartbeat at any time. I'm amazed at the amount of love that flows through my heart these days. I doubt it would be so great if I had not been assaulted as I was. I'm amazed at my indifference to all of this, as if it mattered not, and it doesn't. All power is in the hands of the One, and a simple gesture on the part of the Divine can transform anything, no matter what, into anything. Upon this, you and I must rely, and everything that happened is geared to this end. Either we are equal to the task, or we are not. But irrespective, the ineffable is equal to anything and everything, and the Divine resides in us. I go to prepare a place for you. I think that means we only need to journey there with the full expectation that it awaits even now. Okay, my dear friends, we've come once again to the end of another broadcast, and a Hornsey to that effect. I'll see you next week if there is one. In between now and then, open the floodgates in the secret chambers of your heart and let your love flow over everything that your senses and intuition bring to your attention. Let love guide, educate, and protect you according to your capacity to surrender to it. Time is coming, and the avatar is coming with it. That said, Om Amitabha, much love, Lady Nature. Greetings, my good friend, Lord Ganesh. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Bismillah, Irrahman, Irrahim. Hare Krishna. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha, and Haru!
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the ONSIC Radio Network of Stations.